from Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Leftovers with Jay and Jeff, a podcast dedicated to HBO's The Leftovers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Donna!
And welcome to the show. How are you doing, Jack?
You get the Donna one?
No.
Donna. Think about it. Donna, West Wing.
Oh. Right, come on. It's too deep a reference.
Oh, come on. I think most people have watched The Leftovers have seen The West Wing at least once.
I have, but I didn't really recall it.
Because you went your first day back to work, so you're out of...
out of work shape?
Yeah, you're out of just life shape, I think. No, I saw her and I go, oh, Donna. Mm-hmm. You can't help but see her and not go, Donna.
Okay.
From all the West Wing characters...
I wouldn't say she's the most memorable.
Well, she's the one I always call Donna.
Uh-huh. I'm sure she loves.
Well, I'm sure she does. Donna! I could call her Mary. Mary.
Mary!
Mary! Oh!
So we had a new episode of The Leftovers. I don't want to call it its walkabout episode, but definitely felt like walkabout in a certain way. Focusing on a character that you didn't really... It was kind of there, but wasn't really there.
Well, there wasn't that shocking reveal at the end.
No, but there was still kind of a reveal.
There was a reveal, but it wasn't like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I don't think we should start putting this in the walkabout.
I wouldn't even go there. But I'm saying it had a, I don't want to say, it's slightly similar feel in that it focused on Reverend Matt.
Right.
A character that we just kind of saw in passing and then just kind of focus on this guy's story.
Well, that's two weeks in a row we've had two characters, like Nora the week before, and we find out that Nora and Matt are related. Here I'm thinking they're just throwaway characters, mm-hmm. and suddenly they're the most important characters in the first three episodes,
mm-hmm.
other than Kevin.
Yeah.
But they were he was the main focus, and at first I'm like going, are they really going to put this whole episode about Matt?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, don't kill Matt.
Yeah.
Because like, you started caring about him.
Yeah.
I did start caring about him. He had...
His journey, really.
It was an interesting story and everything he's gone through. And I said, wow. He goes, well, don't kill Matt now.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't spoil anyone. But this was my favorite episode of the three.
I would agree. Like, I really enjoyed it. And again, it didn't have a... oh my God moment like walkabout, but it made me care about this character that I didn't necessarily think that I cared about before on a pretty deep level. Like, well, I definitely was invested in
Matt's story. There's
definitely
more to him than what we know.
Mm-hmm.
There's more going on. I mean, he has a dark side to him.
There's a dark side, and there's also, it's pitting him as this kind of main antagonist character.
Right.
Kind of the way that episode ended.
That's my Matt squint.
Look more like a De Niro kind of. I have nipples, Greg. You want to milk me?
You paint my church? Are you painting my church?
You come here. You want to paint my church?
That was more of a.
Yeah, that wasn't really.
That was a more.
Pacino?
Pacino, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you see Dana Carvey on Jimmy Fallon?
No. Was it good?
They both did Pacino and Al Pacino impressions.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah?
Hilarious. Go back, and he does Chopping Broccoli.
Oh, really?
And there's like a whole orchestra.
Oh, really?
He's got violins and stuff playing. It's funny.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Then he says he'll follow anybody on Facebook, on Twitter. Anybody on Twitter.
Uh-huh,
so your mom and I right away went and followed him.
Uh-huh.
He followed Jay and Jack, but he didn't follow myself or your mom.
Hey, he followed Jay and Jack. That's something.
Yeah, it's great, but he didn't follow me. I almost blocked him.
He probably looked at Jay and Jack and was like, all right, 12,000 plus followers. That's respectable. And went to you. You're like, 4,000. Big deal.
What are you
Big whoop.
Big he whoop. Said he'd follow, because his thing, I think he said, he was saying some Irish. I'm trying to remember the whole story, but he goes, you know, who am I not to follow people? But what I've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not Dana Carvey. But but it was, he was, and funny, the other day I was asking, whatever happened to Dana Carvey?
Mm-hmm.
And there he was on Jimmy Fallon. So
you have that kind of power.
Still funny.
But no, I thought it was a really good episode. I think it showed what they can do with this show.
Right.
And them kind of fleshing the things out. I really liked, it brought back the first scene in the first episode. It
was excellent.
And the callback to there. And there's something that you thought was just kind of a throwaway background scene.
Sam!
Was a pivotal moment.
Well, I remember the car crashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
I remember the whole thing. And when it, I went, ah, good job, guys.
Yeah.
And it's all also what it did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely don't care about why they left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more about, okay, what, how is this town coping with what's going on? And I just.
Or even to Matt's point, it's a test.
Right.
And I'm kind of with Matt on that.
It is a test, but you know, I don't know. I don't care. I just want to see what's going on, what the backstories are going on. And it was the first episode where I actually cared. Oh, my God, I really care about this guy. Don't kill him off. Everyone else could have been, I like this guy, but they can kill her off. Yeah. They can kill her or him off. But no, we'll see. It was, hopefully it's got its legs behind him and it's going forward.
Yeah. Well, what do you say we get into the recap? Before we do that, though, check out our other shows on jjackplus.com. The Ramblecast that we just posted up today talked about Orange is the New Black and the Emmy nominations. The next Ramblecast...
Orphans is the New Black?
Well, the next Ramblecast, I want to talk about Orphan Black because Colleen and I watched the first season of Orphan Black. So we're going to talk about that, but talked about Orange is the New Black. And on the next Ramblecast, I'd like to talk about which one's better, Orphan Black or Orange is the New Black.
You know who was watching Orange is the New Black?
Who?
Your mom.
Oh, really?
She watched 5 episodes last night.
Really?
I come walking out.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, there, I'm giving it a try. I'm watching season 1 of Orange is the New Black. I go, no, you're not. She goes, what? She goes, you're like 10, 15 minutes into the second season. I go, that's the second season. No, it's not. It's the first season. I go, no, that's the second season. Because she's not, that girl to her right or her left is not in.
What movie is she in?
She's in A League of Their Own.
There you go.
And you wouldn't really notice.
No. Didn't age too well.
No.
But maybe try to make her look.
I know. She, either way, but I said, and she finally goes, oh, you're right. So she watched 15 minutes of the second episode of season 1.
Luckily, it doesn't really spoil.
Or first
too
episode
much.
Of season 1. No, your mom does that anyway.
Yeah.
You're like, your sister has been watching, her and her boyfriend are watching Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Your sister has already read the summary for the next book coming out. She's only on season 2. She just finished season 2 of Game
Why
of Thrones.
Spoil yourself like that?
That's what your mom and sister do. Your mom gets a book, she reads the last chapter first, then reads the book. I go, why? She goes, well, if I don't like the book, I don't have to read it. I go, you bought the book.
You've already invested into it.
Anyway.
But so check that out over at jandjacktv.com, only $2.99 a month. We'll talk about that. I also want to talk about a new movie, well, not movie, but it's on. You can rent it right now or buy it. Nonstop with Liam Neeson. So check it out.
Is that the plane movie?
The plane movie, yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Michelle Dockery
from Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey
also has the guy who plays Russo in the first season of
House Cards.
And it also has Julianne Moore. In it. A big cast. I mean, fairly decent cast for kind of a
sometimes she
diehard.
She bugs
movie.
Me sometimes. I'm just going to say it.
Whoa.
I'm just saying it. I know she listens to this podcast, but I'm not afraid to say it.
All right. Well, it is time to get into the recap for Two Boats and a Helicopter.
Was that
the title of the episode? Yeah. Two Boats and a Helicopter.
Where did they get that from?
I don't know.
Were there any boats or a helicopter in this episode?
I tried to recall now that I wrote it down because on HBO Go it has the title there. And then just looking at now, I don't recall Two Boats and a Helicopter, but
I'll go with it.
Maybe for the more eagle-eyed viewers out there, maybe it was as obvious as Eloise Hawking on the Friar's desk. But
well, we didn't get 100 emails about it. Pop, pop, pop,
but
pop,
if
pop.
A more eagle-eyed viewer has found that, please let us know. But let's get into the Leftovers recap.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Right, it is Leftovers recap time.
You okay there?
Yeah, like a little saliva went down the wrong.
That's nice. That's what everybody wants to hear.
I'm just being honest. This is an honest show. I don't hide behind some editing machine. All right.
That's true. We don't.
What you hear is what we record.
That is proof we don't edit. Because everyone goes, how do you do the editing? I go, we don't. We might stop it.
If Jack drops some curse words or something, we'll stop it.
I think that's more you.
So we start out with Matt at church giving a sermon about a kid, kind of didn't want to have a sister. And it kind of intersperses with him cleaning the church. And it's about a boy with cancer and kind of what he went through and what he learned from having cancer. And then he talks about a girl who's in a coma.
Emily.
Her name is Emily. And this whole time, I was thinking that when they'd show the church, there'd be nobody in the church. Were you kind of feeling that?
I was kind of feeling that. Then you see it looked like people had to take like a number to reserve their spot. It was packed.
It was kind of empty. There was a few people. There was a girl in a wheelchair. And a lady, and that girl was in something. Was she in All My Children? The caretaker?
Oh, the caretaker?
She looks familiar. I know she was in something. I know I have IMDb. I could just look it up, but it's more fun to try and figure it out. But he has his sermon, and but then as he's going on, a man comes in and he beats Matt up, and he shoves a She Sold Drugs flyer in his mouth, and he walks out.
I do like the fact that nobody
came up to like help him. Everyone's like, one guy kind of had a cell phone, like he was gonna call the cops, yeah. And then
stop,
yeah,
stop. Oh no, I mean,
stop FBI.
I think it's just the norm for. I think that's just how society is now.
Well, then I think maybe people kind of expect this from him because he is kind of controversial on what he's saying.
He is, but you're there to listen to him. So obviously you still respect him enough to listen to him.
To show up.
So nobody would, I mean, it was a big guy.
Yep.
But like you said, maybe because we do find out later on, this happens kind of all the time.
Yeah.
That maybe people are just used to it, but he was taking a beating. You think someone would say, hey, stop, you're going to kill him.
Yep.
But no.
We then go to the title sequence. Did you watch the title sequence this time?
I did.
It was your homework. So what did you think?
I thought it was amazing.
Oh, don't be facetious. Just what did you think of the... There's some symbolism there. Do you think it means anything, or do you think it's a
throwaway?
Obviously,
it means something. I mean, they wouldn't have put it in there if it doesn't mean anything.
But, like, what do you... like?
I really didn't look that deep into it. I watched...
Okay, come on!
I watched
it. It's the one piece of homework you had to do.
I watched it, but I'm like, going, okay, that's exciting. It's almost like the big love... Nobody knows how much I'm... When they're skating around, the skating thing was always so stupid.
So you think it's stupid? You don't like
it? No, I didn't say it was stupid. I'm just saying, obviously, it's not long, so there isn't a lot of suffering.
But what about just the people that are being taken away?
Obviously, that's what, you know, I get that, what's the show's about. I don't need the 30-second intro to tell me, oh, that's what the show's about.
All right.
I'm just saying.
This is a show where we dissect the show, so I figured you'd want to dissect it.
I figured
we do dissect
the show, but I got it already.
Okay, all right.
2% of the people left, and some people like this. Some people are happy. Some people, they're happy with their loved ones they left behind. I mean, you see that towards the end. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool. I have my loved one. And I guess it just shows how different people react. Some are like, you know, and the other people are like going, I have somebody. I'm okay. That's what I got out of it. Of course, towards the end, am I right? Because towards the end, there's people that are... still having a good time, and the rest are not. I don't.
Okay,
that's what I got out of it.
We then go to Amber Johnson, who sold drugs to college kids.
Yeah.
Who
does that?
That is the person that I'm guessing his husband or somebody.
I'm guessing it's the father.
I'm
guessing because she looked young and he looked a little older.
Mm-hmm. Could be father.
It could be like 50s sitcom.
What do you mean?
You always had the older guy with the younger wife.
Oh, okay. Don't know. Wasn't alive back then.
You've watched 50s sitcoms.
So there is, I'm guessing, another police officer, but obviously not as high up as Kevin. They're kind of taking information. Then Kevin shows up, and he's, again, Kevin's kind of used to this because he's like, are you going to press charges? No.
No.
He's like, all right, move on.
The guy didn't seem too happy that Kevin had... The chief had come in and kind of...
Yes.
He seemed upset by it.
Mm-hmm. He invites him to dinner, says it's his dad's old place.
So they're good friends.
Yes. Or family friends of some sort.
Well, they've hung out. They, you know, they did family dinners and stuff like that. Probably.
But he's friends with his dad.
Right.
And I guess his dad was a big member of his congregation. Look at how that turned out for him. and he gets a call from FDR Bank.
Yeah.
Probably can't be too good.
What does FDR stand for?
Really?
I'm just... That's
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Is there something more into it that we should be looking at?
Shut up.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And then he's at the hospital, so he wants to go check in on who we assume is Emily, and we go there,
and the bed's empty. Hold on a second. You skipped the best part.
Oh,
what about that clown?
The clown was creepy.
Was the clown...
it was the saddest looking clown I've ever seen.
Clowns are supposed to be happy. She looked like she had lost everybody in her family.
She might have. But again, so maybe time to give up the clown career.
Or at least put a smile. I mean, you're supposed to be in there cheering kids up.
Mm-hmm.
Smile. I mean, yeah. There was kind of a little tiny smile.
A little Hershey was, smile.
I said, wow, scary clown. He said, didn't he say we're here for the same?
Yeah, we're going to the same place.
Same place. I don't think so. I don't think so, Matt. Do some background check on that clown, Matt.
So he's there and he's sad because the bed's empty, so he figures he must have died. Asked I'm guessing the nurse that was there.
Orderly.
Whoever it was. And that Emily woke up, and Matt's excited, says, we prayed for her this morning. I said, well, she woke up last night.
Dun, 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 dun. Wow.
Come on.
He couldn't even give him that, could he?
I know.
But you know what? Again, everybody knows Matt, and nobody likes him.
Yeah.
Most people don't like Matt.
Mm-hmm. So then he's sets up the church by himself, which is interesting. So he's kind of fighting this fight alone. And the GR is watching him, which is always fun.
Yeah. But he didn't seem to be upset by it.
No.
Well, he was sweeping. There's a pigeon there.
Yeah, one pigeon.
One pigeon. And he's sweeping. He kind of shoos the pigeon away with the mm-hmm. broom. He sees, you know, the VS or GRs, whatever you want to call them. And he goes, gives a kind of smile, like, and they just look at him, keep smoking.
Mm-hmm. So now there's three times we see pigeons. Each time increases in numbers.
Right.
We'll talk about it as we go through the last set of pigeons. But
okay, because I thought it stood for,
what do you think it stood?
I'm thinking, well, he's squealing at everyone. I'm thinking stool pigeon. That's what that's the whole thing I was thinking. I go, I get it, stool pigeon.
Okay, all right.
I'm probably wrong, but that's where I first thought. I go, when I first saw the pigeon, the first mm-hmm. pigeon, I go, oh, stool pigeon.
Okay. I mean, it's fair.
I don't know. That's all I got out of pigeon.
Well, it just seemed like where there was the pigeons in sequential order, you had 1, 2, and 3. The first time was on the doorstep. The next time was on the roulette table, and the next time was on the light. It seemed to be places that he should be focusing on.
Right, the church.
Well, the church, or he looked up and saw GR. Should he be focusing on GR?
Ah, good point.
It's people that may be trying to gun for him and what he's doing.
Didn't think about that.
Then the roulette table should have played it, and then red light, stop.
Right. Play it on red.
That too. Didn't think about that till now.
You think red light, stop? I think he does, if Matt needs a pigeon to tell him to stop at a red light...
But still the color red, you're right.
Then we got problems, Matt.
Nope.
Shouldn't be driving,
I'm bummed I didn't get that. It's my bad. But yes, you're right, red for the...
I thought you had it perfect. I was like going, well, I didn't think about the... second one was obvious.
Yeah.
But I thought the third one was pretty obvious, too.
So a man comes in with a baby, and wife is out for a pedicure, but he wants to do a secret baptism. And it's a really nice scene. I thought it was a really nicely cut scene, and you see how happy Matt is to...
They stole this from All in the Family.
Oh, is that from All in the Family?
Because Archie wanted to have a little Joey baptized, and Meathead was an atheist and didn't want to do it, so...
Oh, so he snuck him in to get baptized?
Yeah.
So, you know, he offers, like, should I pay you money? And he says, no, if you just maybe, you know, come to...
Bring your
mass
wife
this
to
Sunday.
Church.
I was like, I don't think that's going to happen.
She hasn't been the same since the 14th. So something happened to her on the... Well, you know, something happened on the 14th, but she had a baby well after...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's baby's not 3 years old.
No.
So what happened?
Babies happen.
What I know, but what happened... I mean,
they may not wanted the baby.
But she's life is not hasn't stopped her from getting a manicure. She's had a baby. Maybe she's just not religious anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That something happened.
That makes more sense than just... stopping living.
Right. I get it, but there's something, she's just anti-God now or something.
Mm-hmm. But he does tell him about Andrew Sasaki. And he gambled away his kid's college fund.
Now, here's an issue I have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he would gamble away his paycheck.
Yeah.
Now, if you have kids, you're responsible. You should be out there gambling away your paycheck. But then when they say he gambled away his kid's college fund, well, who put the money in for the college fund?
Yeah. That's
not
true.
Not the kids.
Yeah.
Now, was it given? But how does he have a college? If he's gambling his paycheck as soon as he gets it,
mm-hmm.
how is there a college fund?
Yeah.
Someone must have given them. I'm sure we'll never find out.
Yeah.
But my first thought was, okay, well, who put the money in for the college fund? And it really wasn't it's not the kid's college fund until he goes, okay, here, I saved this money for you for the college fund.
What if he... Still, if you're telling your spouse and your kids, I'm saving this money for you to go to college,
and there's nothing there, then
it's like it's even if it
no
you
I,
saved the money and worked hard
I
for
get,
the money, it's still
I get
kind of a
I
jerk
get
move.
That, but how's he saving his if he's spending his pay? How are they surviving?
Well, maybe he wins sometimes.
I don't know.
So then he investigates him at the casino. He tells the Pitts boss, you know, what he does, and he has, you know, the bruises on his face, and once he tells him about this person and about how, you know, there's good people, like your niece,
yeah. He asked, did you lose anybody?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I lost a niece. Just 9 years old or something like that?
Yeah. And now I see why you have those, you know, marks on your face. Yeah. But then he sees two pigeons on
the roulette
table.
Well, no, some guy's screaming. He's cussing.
Yeah. And we look down, and there's two pigeons on the casino table.
Right. Which I thought was odd.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it meant to bet red.
No, that's the red lights, obviously. So then he's trying to put together Andrew's pamphlet he's going to put out, but his printer is not working.
No toner.
You're the printer professional. What was
out of toner.
Out of toner, okay.
And that happens. And toner's expensive.
Especially when you don't have any money, like the church.
Yeah, exactly. And probably he puts out a lot of flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Does he need to put out the flyers?
That's what he does.
He's already irritating me.
Listen, Nora.
It's already irritating me.
So then he goes to his car and he sees the two GR ladies there, and he gives them donations. I'm sorry, it's not in white.
Right, and they just look at him.
And he says to tell Patty that he's made it this far. He's okay. You don't need to.
It won't work on me.
Yeah,
but I do think that it's funny. The one woman he was talking to. Mm-hmm. And we see her in the flash.
We do
later on. That's who he sees in the flash. Mm-hmm. But the other one was shaking like crazy. Mm-hmm. The other one's wasn't cold at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if it means anything, but I just know she was like.
So he gets a call from the bank, and we find that somebody has bought.
Well, he's been ignoring the bank calls.
He has.
And he screws up and answers he answers this one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, Jim. I've been having problems with my phone. Well, should a reverend be lying?
Hey, nobody's perfect.
Well, I guess we find out later.
Air is a human.
I guess we find out later on. Maybe he should have a little flyer about him.
So he gets the call. He picks it up, and the banker asks, and he's there at the bank, and he asks about Mary, because he gets a call, and he says, "Oh, I'll pick it up." And he kind of ignores it, really, when he asks about Mary.
Right.
And he needs $135,001.
Well, we forgot about part going back to this Mary thing when he was talking with Kevin. He goes, "Well, we can come over on Sunday night." He goes, "Nights don't work for me."
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin goes, "I'm sorry."
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of at that point, I'm like going, "Well, I don't get that."
But yeah.
Later on, we find out why.
But he needs that money in cash tomorrow, or he's going to lose the church.
Yep. By end of the day tomorrow.
Yep. So then we go to Matt, who meets with Nora Durst, and Doug Durst is in the family picture. Now, she says she lost her entire family, but Doug Durst is the one that was trying to marry Meg for 3 years.
Is that who that was?
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that.
I'm assuming it's the same Doug Durst, because Doug Durst, remember, was...
Yeah.
So.
Huh. Cool, good catch.
So there's a connection there.
That makes up for your... light thing.
He asks about Mary, and she says she's great. So at least he references it. And he asks for money, and he said mom and dad left us the church, so he's related to Nora.
Yeah, we find out they're brother and sister.
And he wants her to use the departed money that she got, the grievance money. And she says that I will give it to you, but you have to stop putting out those newsletters.
Right.
And Matt says, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. Why would you ask me to do that? And he says the departure was a test. And Nora says you're failing at it.
But I thought she made a good point. She goes, you know, okay, you had, because she references a car crash. Mm-hmm. You're right about the judge, about the accident. And she goes on and on. It was something like that. And she says, you proved your point. When everyone said you were right, but then when you kept going on, everyone said you were crazy. You know, you can't keep getting your face punched in or something like mm-hmm. that. I thought she made a good point.
Yeah.
You've already made your point.
Yes.
Why are you still going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out later on that he has skeletons in his closet, too. Should he be throwing stones and glass at a glass house?
What bad skeletons does he have?
We saw a little flashback. Maybe he's doing a little something-something with something-someone.
Who?
Lori?
No, that wasn't that he was sleeping with her. I think it was just I don't know. No.
That seemed a little...
That
seemed a little comfortable on the swing set there.
No. So then Matt says, Doug was having an affair.
That right there was a pretty stupid
that
thing.
That was
a jerky thing to say.
Was.
There was no reason at that point
to say
that.
It's the one story I'll never publish. And he says, I love you too. But he's asked to leave.
But she didn't seem upset by it.
No, she seemed to know.
She seemed to know, and she kind of laughed about it, like, okay, well, you know, I had an affair with Kevin Garvey, so it's okay that it's okay.
We're seeing last week's crackpot
theory. I'm just saying, she didn't seem, it was like, oh my, but I just thought it was a terrible, Matt's starting to bug me now. There was no reason to tell his sister that.
I agree.
The guy's gone, the guy's passed away, he's gone. Oh, Doug.
Doug Durst. With Meg.
That's right. I keep forgetting. Okay. Well, he was laughing anyway.
He then goes, picks up Clorox, and he is going to, then he goes home, and we find out that he doesn't have money to pay Mary's caretaker.
What was the deal with the bleach? It's Clorox. It's the biggest name brand out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
It wasn't like he bought some over-the-counter, I mean, some...
Well, maybe she likes generic bleach.
Generic. I don't know. Seems like they'd be okay. Well, it's Clorox. Matt, it's Clorox bleach.
Unless she asked for cereal.
I asked for Fruit Loops, and you bring me home bleach.
Anyway, but she...
Sorry.
So then we see Mary. She's in a vegetative state.
And she's Donna from... The West Wing.
And he bathes her and he puts her to bed. And he has a little cot. And that's the same type of cot I had to sleep in the hospital.
Feel bad for you. You're trying to put yourself in the same thing as Mary?
No, I'm just saying. Not Mary. I'm saying his cot that he had, that pull-out cot.
Matt had to sleep on a cot for 3 years he's been sleeping on that cot.
I'm saying I can feel his
pain.
You
did it for 2 days.
That's what I'm saying.
Boo-hoo. You had a son born. She's in a...
Listen, I'm not saying that I'm in the same position. I'm just saying that I understand sleeping on that cot stinks.
And
I'd be crying,
too. If you watch her hands, too, she did a great job of portraying her hands are, like, just stiff. And I go, I thought it was great acting. She didn't say anything, but I thought it was fantastic acting on her part. I'm not making a joke about that. I'm being serious. I didn't notice it.
She starts to cry himself to sleep, and he looks up at it's a artwork of some sort. Somebody getting baptized. And he has an epiphany. So when he gets the caretaker to come, he says, I'll pay her back.
Are you shocked that the was it Rose? What's her name? I wrote it down. Are you shocked she came back?
I think she believes in what he's doing. You know, she seems to want to be there and supportive for him. Now, when she was sitting there at first, I forgot to mention, there was this Departed package where they could kind of recreate the people that departed from pictures.
Yeah.
That was a little weird.
Well, people are, you know, any people want to make it happens. People want to make a buck.
Yeah.
And how do you make a buck when people are sitting at home and, you know, 3 years later, some people are still affected. Obviously, if you never get over this.
Yeah.
And you see that and go, oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. Okay. And there's all that. We don't know how much money they're getting that the settlements are, but they are getting probably a good sum of money. Nora can come up with $135,000 with a blink of an eye, so they're getting a good sum of money.
Mm-hmm. So he gets a shovel and he goes to Kevin's backyard, and Lori is there on a swing set. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What are your thoughts here?
I'm thinking that swing set was in pretty good condition for not. I mean, Jill was like 16, 17. Tom, it's got to be older than that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's using this swing set?
You're saying so there's a younger kid?
There has to be another kid. It was, what's his name? Kevin's dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's his house.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be a younger kid maybe involved with that. That swing set, look, unless I'm just putting too much into this and they just, hey,
you're putting too much into
we need this. A swing set, so let's get, because most swing sets after a while look pretty ragged.
Mm-hmm.
This one looked pretty new.
Okay. All right.
Just saying.
It's a fair observation.
You can notice, say, the beginning of the opening sequence means something. Then the swing set. Guys, I go, wow, that swing set looks awful.
So you think a child might have departed, and then that's why they're not around?
Maybe one of his.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a kid with the mayor. Maybe. I don't know.
Hmm.
I really have no idea.
It's not a bad angle to take.
Should have saved it for my crackpot theory, because it would have been a lot better than the one I have now.
So he says... Kevin's dad left something for him, and Lori says, asked him not to tell that he was here, and he said, I won't tell if you won't.
And I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
She doesn't speak.
She could write on a notepad. in poor handwriting, so you don't really know what she's saying.
I'm sorry, Lori, you have terrible handwriting. If you like me, I could never join that because people are like going, what? I go, because, you know, pointing at, hitting your.
Screw this. I can't not talk anymore.
I got to speak. But what was the shovel for?
Maybe he thought it was deeper. he moves to the Weber grill, pulls out a tile, and takes out the Jif peanut butter.
I just said, what is the shovel for?
And it's wrapped up about a judge that was taking bribes.
Right.
I'm guessing that Papa Garvey must have got him for that money or something and had it stored there. And it was written on there, a note to him that he should take it.
Now, do you think that was what Kevin has been keeping his church going for the last 3 years? Kevin seems to know, I mean, Matt seems to know there's money there. And there's that maybe that's how he's been getting money, that he maybe blackmailing these people?
No. I think it might just be a one-off thing. Because why wouldn't he have just done that before and make his payments?
Well, maybe the payments aren't as big.
It seemed like he was laying in bed and just like, I have an idea. It all came together.
Well, the judge would be a bigger bribe, obviously, you know, blackmail than someone else. You know, girl selling drugs would probably only be, you know, would be a lot. You know, how much you can take from that? I don't know. I'm just saying. It just seems, well, how did they get the $20,000 for, because the judge was,
he
was right about the judge.
Who knows?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
I don't know.
Thanks.
It's there. It's cash. Thanks. Cash money.
Thanks.
So then he drives and he stops at a light and there are three pigeons, a red light. And he goes to the casino.
Well, he stopped.
red means stop. Green means go. He goes to the casino and he cashes out $20,000 in chips. Not cashes out, but he gets $20,000 in chips.
What would you like? Chips? So you can tell that Matt's a big gambler.
Yes. And he goes to the roulette table like, oh, my guy's going to lose this. He's going to lose the $20,000. He's going to have nothing.
I really had no idea which way they were going with this one.
Yes.
During the whole time, I'm
the
like
whole
going,
thing.
I said, okay, and he's going to win a couple. Maybe he's going to lose it, going to win it, going to lose it, going to win it. I had no clue because when the girl put the other chip down, I'm like going, that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Gambler's rule. You don't do that.
So he puts, he says everything on red, puts a 20 grand there and it's red three. Three pigeons total. Six pigeons total, but the last set of pigeons was three.
Three plus three is six.
Shut up. then he rolls it again. I'm like, oh my God, now it's $40,000 and it is red. What number?
25.
No, 23.
23
is the next one.
That was 25 was the next one.
So now he has 80 grand on there.
Let it ride again.
But yes, this lady, then a drunk guy kind of shows up. He's like, oh, man, that's awesome.
You're awesome.
So then his girl bets against him.
You can't do that. And really, if a guy has $80,000 up there.
Yeah, and you put your $100
bet. You don't put a $100 chip down. Come on, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's not
okay.
That's
just wrong.
You don't do that. So then it is red again, 25. He has $160,000.
But I like how they did it because we don't know. And it was like, okay, did he win? Did he lose?
Yes.
Did he win? Did
yes.
he lose? Did he win? Did he lose? And even when he opens his eyes, we're like going, did he win? Did he lose?
It was a great scene.
It was well done.
So then he gets his money. I'm like, he needs security with him. Why is he just walking around with $160,000
cash? He goes to the cashier, he gets the money. You should tip. At least you should have tipped the dealer.
Yeah,
not the dealer though. Whatever you call him, the roller.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tip anybody.
Yep.
He didn't tip. He goes, "Here's your $160,000. Thank you." Even your mom, who's watching that scene, goes, "No tip." And I go, "I even wrote that down."
Well, obviously he's not he doesn't frequent casinos. He doesn't know proper etiquette.
You just want $160,000. You need to tip, and then park closer. Park closer when a place is more...
Better lit area.
Better lit area.
So he gets in the car and he kind of looks at the man. I'm like, what are you doing? Turn on the car. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Have your door locked. Don't roll down the window.
I kept waiting for someone to smash in the window. I knew that guy was coming back.
Yeah.
I just said, okay, that guy that was at the table is going to come take his money.
Yep. So a guy tries to steal it. But then, surprisingly, I was like, oh, man, now he's lost the money. No, he jumps the guy and beats him up.
Okay, he's walking this way. He says, get back in the car to his girlfriend
mm-hmm.
or his wife, whatever it is, because they're going to Niagara Falls. Why was he walking this way?
Trying to go around to the driver's side door?
It just seemed like he was going a long way around.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he, like, tackled him and pushed him back that far.
Okay. All right. I'll go with that. It just seemed odd. I'm glad he did, though. All right. Here's the part. He takes his head and slams it on the ground mm-hmm. four times, I believe.
Yep.
It had to be, do you think he had the... Were you okay with him doing that?
Yeah, the guy tried to steal his money.
Just asking. Moral question. Just asking.
He took advantage of him. He was going to give him $200 to help him get
to
Niagara
Falls. And he only asked for $100.
Yeah.
But why isn't your door not locked either?
Yeah, you got to lock your door.
He had the car on.
Yeah.
I say, okay, well, I'll put this in drive. Here's a couple $100. And then at least if he starts to do something, you just drive
yeah,
away.
Yeah, you just drive off.
I hope Matt learned a lesson.
Apparently not. So he puts the money back in the Jif jar. He takes down the Judge Street sign, which is because he had another one in there. So they just keep taking them down. They keep putting new ones back up.
I guess so. He takes the 20. So you're assuming he put 20,000.
I assume he put it all back.
All back in. The 20,000 back in. Yeah. So maybe that's a fun use for.
Like emergencies or something?
Emergency Kevin's dad. And
I don't know.
I'm confused on the whole money thing.
All I know is I wouldn't put 20 grand in a Jif jar in my backyard.
Well, you need a shovel to dig it out.
So that
tile underneath mm-hmm. would have been a little more slimier than
yeah. Well, he goes to give the money to the bank, and a GR is hit by a rock, so he goes to help him, and then the truck comes back and hits him in the head.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh no,
Matt can't catch a break.
So he has a dream at first where. So did he have cancer as a kid? Was he the kid that had cancer?
I'm guessing. Because
the story that he started with is about then he had a sister and then he had cancer and then he overcame it.
Right. And then
I think that was
the
his
fire,
story.
It was his sister's hand he was holding when the house was
in
burning.
In the fire. So first I think it was that kid's story in the beginning. That's his life story.
I think so, yes.
And he overcame it.
He overcame that.
Then his parents burned alive in the house.
Right.
And his sister
Nora.
Nora
was
there.
7.
Yep.
I don't think he was quite that much older than her. But
well, no, it's just him reliving it. Then we go to... him in the church, and there is one of the GR ladies there.
Right, she's the one that's
greeting him.
She's the one that's been.
Actually the first scene as it starts out.
Well, she's the one that's been watching him.
Yep. And then we go to the scene where we find out what did happen to Mary, where it's a car crash.
Right.
And it is the scene that we saw in the first
and
episode.
They had a lot of great scenes in this episode.
Yes.
This might have been my favorite.
Yeah. Just a really powerful.
Just because
scene.
It did tie into the. I was like. Oh, because I remember the car crash. I remember because you had the lady screaming for Sam.
Yeah.
Sam. The irresponsible mom, a lot of people said. Not me. But, you know, they had all that thing going on, and they just like, wow. So is the judge is the one that slammed into her car?
No. So the person that disappeared out of the car slammed into his car.
I know, but is that the judge?
Oh, good question. I don't know. That's it. I don't know.
Well, I think we have a phone call on it.
Okay.
Because I thought about that during the show, and then someone called. I go, well, then maybe that's what it was.
We don't know for sure. It's just the car.
Well, she says accident. Nora says accident in the thing. He already proved the accident, something about an accident.
Huh, okay.
And I thought, well, was the because it's a BMW.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a BMW that slams into Mary and their car. So I'm thinking, okay, is that the judge?
Mm-hmm.
And then we heard, I think we have a call or an email about that.
Okay.
So
we'll wait for the call.
Okay.
But still, that's the case, then you see probably why he has that against him.
Yeah.
So then he goes to making love to his wife, and then it turns into Lori and asks, why do you resist?
Right.
And then he wakes up and he's in the hospital.
Well, he put his he's on
he starts
his hands
on
catch
fire,
on fire
yeah.
and the whole bed catches on fire.
Yep. He wakes up, throws his stuff on, runs to his car. The money's still there, thank goodness.
Well, he's yelling to the nurse, you need to call the bank.
You
need to call FDR Bank. And, of course, she didn't know what FDR stood for.
Yeah. So he runs to the bank, slams on the door, like, let me in, and then he lets him in. And he says, all right, I have the money. Here it is. And he says, sorry. It's like, well, only 10 minutes passed. I was like, it was 3 days ago.
Three days ago?
I said, so he was out for 3 days.
He can't catch a break.
So they already bought it, and he goes there, and it is GR who has bought his the
now,
guilty
Now, did you know that that's who was going to buy it the whole
that's
time?
That's what I figured.
I figured the whole time. I was kind of hoping they wouldn't say it, because I go, okay, that'd be a good crackpot theory.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
So he's there, and we see Patty just kind of stare him down, and he stares them down.
It was an angry stare. Both of them had
Yes.
It was not, they're not friends.
No.
Something's happened there.
That closes out the episode, and I think that sets up kind of probably one of the big struggles in the show is probably going to be between Matt and the Guilty Remnants, who obviously have two different points of view on how to handle the departure of everybody. What do you think about that? Do you think that's kind of, that's what it's set up.
I think that's what it's set up, but I think there's more to it there. First, I was trying to think, okay, what, going back to the judge, what has triggered Matt to do this, to call out people that, the ones that he doesn't think that deserve to be lumped in with the people that, you know, like the little girl that was an innocent little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he tells a story about this guy who follows this girl home and kidnaps a girl and does horrible things to her and stuff like that. But he vanished in prison.
Yeah.
Why did he get to go?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be his daughter. I thought that's why his wife was that way.
Okay.
It wasn't until I saw the accident, I went, oh, dang. I go, that just, because that was going to be my crackpot.
Yeah.
There you go. That has to be it. Mm-hmm. She had shock and she's just, you know, she's in shock and she couldn't, it just happens. I can't recover from it. I said, oh, and then I started thinking, I go, well, did was it the judge in the car?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like, oh, no. Then I heard a call and I went, oh, maybe it was.
Yeah.
I can't, because somewhere I did it. But I just think there's more to Matt than, you know, something, it just seems odd that he's what happened to his wife, the judge who was taking bribes, that he had to prove him, you know, he wasn't a good person, and him being pulled away caused his wife to be in, you know, in the situation she's in. So I guess
he's very happy. Like, they showed his wedding day and all that kind
of
stuff.
Right. So there wasn't anything else going on there, but something happened. And that has to be what triggered him to go out and say, okay, these people aren't good people.
Yeah.
These people aren't good. And like Nora said, you proved that you're right about the judge.
Yeah.
That's where you should have stopped.
So here's the question. He's hitting this point over the head. This is very much a, there's different ideologies of what this departure is supposed to be. Right.
Right.
And, so do you think Matt's right? Do you think the Guilty Remnant's right? Do you think Wayne is right? Or do you think it's something that we still don't know?
We still don't know, but I think Nora was right about Matt. He needs to stop. He's already proven, but again, what does he have?
Yeah.
You know, he just has this, he still loves his wife, still things going on. But why does he have to ruin everybody else's life to prove that these people? He already proved the judge did bad things.
Mm-hmm.
He already proved that.
Yeah,
and it could be the judge was behind it. We don't, you know, that was in that car. We don't know. But he's already proved it. Why does he need to keep going and ruining other? Like when the guy came in and beat him up in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah,
he's hurting. He's lost either his wife or a child. I mean, a child who did. Sold drugs to college kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's wrong, but is it the worst thing in the world?
Yeah.
Does this guy who's suffering need to be hit over the head? Does everyone in the world need to know that his daughter or wife...
But it's obvious in a sense that God or whoever seems to be on his side to a degree.
Well,
he followed his visions,
but,
and then that led him to...
But he didn't get... It didn't help him in the end.
Because maybe he's supposed to be doing something. Maybe he's supposed to be letting that church go, but he's supposed to be taking his quest somewhere else. He can take that money and start another church.
But that was a family church. That was belonged to his family.
Oh, I know.
That's why it was important to keep.
I know that's why, but maybe that can... The Guilty Remnant taking it from him will embolden him to kind of keep going on his path, because it's obvious to a certain degree that he's had some type of vindication that his crusade is the right crusade.
He's hurting people that don't need to be hurt. They've already suffered.
I think he's onto something in the sense that more bad people left than good.
Okay, but you're always going to have more bad people.
No, but saying that it... So if...
That were
why,
of the 2%?
But why were more bad people out of the 2% taken? And, you know, what is the test that he's saying? I think that he's somewhat vindicated in that. And I know that he's ticking people off by putting it out there, and that's, you know, it's what happens. But in terms of him being able to win that $160,000, I think there's some vindication for him that... he's on the right path on what this departure truly was for the people that are left behind.
Okay, I can see that, but I'm going to say that I agree with his, going back to his sister. His sister was right. You got what you wanted. You proved that you were right. When everyone thought you were crazy, you proved that you were right about that, about the judge.
Mm-hmm.
He got it. Why does he need, what did this girl do?
But I think I would agree at the middle, that's kind of the dark point for him. But towards the end, he was vindicated.
Well,
I
can see he doesn't care because he tells his sister about the affair.
That's what I'm saying. I think, I don't know, he's just a very interesting character. So first, it was daring to make an episode about a character we haven't really seen yet and dedicate it to him pretty much and show his
story. No, it's a great episode because we're talking about it.
And I think he's the first character that I actually care about to a pretty high level degree.
Unless we find out that he actually started out in a wheelchair. Then you have your walkabout.
Anyways, that's my thoughts. I agree with you. I think it's the best episode of this series so far.
I think so.
Love the, and again, I know people get ticked off and they kind of bash Damon Lindelof, and I think unfairly to a greater degree. But I love the way he's able to create mystery in these different layers that all start to interconnect with each other. The show's called The Leftovers. It's not called The Departed. So don't worry about the people that left. It's about the people that are left over.
Well, you have a show. He does a great job of having a show that makes you think and talk. You may not like it. You didn't like the ending of Lost. You know, people out there didn't like the ending of Lost. I get it. I'm not going to try to convince you that it was, at this point, you either liked it or you didn't.
Yep.
I'm not on that side where you have to hate it and you have to like it. You get people out there that get so upset with you. I mean, you saw the emails we got from people that were, you know, your sellouts. I wasn't making any money on it. I mean, ABC wasn't paying me. That was what the joke came from. But, you know, I liked it. And this one so far, at first, I was very honest last week. It was a little slow. But it did. I liked it more the second time I watched it. This episode, I liked it from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was a little worried at the first few minutes. I'm like, going, wow, is this whole episode going to be about this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I go, how's this going to work?
Yeah.
But 15 minutes in, I go, I was into the story. I'm following it, and I enjoyed it. And now I want to know more about what's going on.
Yeah.
They brought me in.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can keep going this way with the other characters, like, I want to know more about Nora's backstory.
Yeah.
What's going on with Kevin's dad? What's going on with Kevin?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, there you go.
And Lori. What is she doing just stalking her husband outside?
Well, it's obvious she still cares about them.
Yeah. And can I say this? Kevin's not a good cop. She's sitting right outside. Sitting right outside.
He might be having dreams about killing dogs or something.
That could be. But his wife is right outside in a white shirt.
Mm-hmm.
The light comes on.
Like it's snow out. She like blends in. Like
the monitor,
Arctic
the motion detector light comes on, and he doesn't. Wow, our motion light came on. I would notice if it was dark outside.
Yeah.
Hey, my motion light just came on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not a cop, so I don't know.
All right, well, that's what we thought. We got a lot of listener feedback, so what do you say we get into it, Jack?
I say we do it.
All right, here we go. Listener feedback. All right. I didn't actually make the segue song yet. I just did that live.
Oh, okay.
It's live.
Oh, we're
doing it live.
Oh, you're recording.
Yeah, I'm recording right now.
Oh, okay.
I just did it.
Ah.
A live take.
So this is the second week in a row you've done this to me.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to go to work this week.
Oh, so depressing. So my reputation has suffered because you had to go to work this week? You had to sleep on a month ago you had to sleep on a cot for 2 days, and then you had to go to work today.
Ah,
you know,
it's
everyone
horrible.
Out there is like going, wow, I've never gone to work. I've never slept on something that was uncomfortable. Poor, how does this Jay survive?
All right, well, let's go to the emails that we got here. This first one is from Eckhart. I really liked episode 3 and thought it might have been the best so far. Even though the focus was quite narrow and covered mostly a new character, I think it was a great standalone episode and also moved the broader storyline forward nicely. I like this preacher character and can see the definite parallels with John Locke from Lost, which is a good thing. While it hinted that the Virginia Slims would be taking over the church throughout the episode, I did think the ending montage of them painting over the stained glass window and seeing the disposal of the Bibles in the kitchen trash bags all while smoking was extremely powerful and chilling. It made me think that the Virginia Slims are less of a religious cult and more of an extremist political organization that relies on a detailed multi-step plan and concentrated efforts to dominate their locality. The reliance on dossiers and prior episodes and the constant process of collecting information, not to mention the conformity of dress pattern, are reminiscent of 30s Germany and Soviet Union. And this is a stark contrast to the proselytizing nature of the priests and other religious organizations, cults, which tend to rely on charismatic speakers, etc. Jane, Jack, I'm a great fan of all your work, especially last podcast. I'm still the natty jingles randomly while working. Therefore, I must ask, when are getting a good dose of Next on Leftovers, the TV show and movie picks jingles? Eichardt in Washington, D.C., formerly New Jersey. I'm trying to think of a way to do Next on Leftovers, but it just doesn't have the...
Next on... What was it? Next on Lost?
It was Next on Lost TV show.
Now, what did we talk about? I can't remember.
What's next episode?
What's next episode? Okay.
Yes. So we can do that. I'm trying to think of a way to sit, because Next on Leftovers, it just doesn't...
Next on The Leftovers.
That's adding more syllables
but
to it.
But that's what the show's title is.
Next on The Leftovers?
Like, or Next on The Overs. Next on The Overs.
Lost is just Lost.
Lost. Well, it had that single name. You know, it's funny. When we were talking about the Ramblecast,
yeah,
I didn't bring that up.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
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 Thank you, Eckhart. I agree. It definitely had... I know you hate John Locke, but he had that kind of sensibility to him.
Again, you're trying to paint me into this corner about hating John Locke. Didn't hate John Locke.
Come on.
John Locke was one of the better characters on the show, but he just wasn't a leader.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't fall him across the street.
Brian from Tulsa, love hearing you guys again. It's been a while. I've liked the first episodes of Leftovers so far, but I do have a question. Why is there such hostility between regular people and the Virginia Slims?
Because the Virginia Slim people sleep on cots.
No, I think
and it's... And so they're angry.
But they kind of stalk people.
They stalk people. They
give information about people.
I think there's more to it than that, though.
Yeah.
I think there's more information to it than that. Because you can hate someone for... You know, looking at you the whole time, and you look, come walking outside, and they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it. Again, I'd probably just run them over, but that's just me.
This is from my childhood best friend, Ryan Diaz. I know this is a little late, but you're looking for Heaven's Gate, the Hillbot Comet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. First episode, we're talking about
the ones with the purple shoes.
Yes, purple shoes, Nikes, I think. Right?
Was it Nikes? Yeah. Was it Nike? Yeah, it was Nikes. Yeah. Like, wow.
Let's see. Xia, what else do we got? Guys, I'm so excited for the Leftovers podcast. I might be more excited about your podcast than the Leftovers show. I just wanted to point out the fact that the writers of the show choose to make family that didn't lose members to the family to the event as their main characters, even though the show is called The Leftovers. This made me think that there might be another event in the future. What do you guys think?
I think that's a
the fact that they're focusing on a family that didn't lose anybody.
I think
that we know.
I think it's a great possibility.
So a second event.
Why not? Well, that would just freak people out, though. If it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it happening this season. Oh, that could be the season one finale. Cliffhanger.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Good point. Good point. All right, well, thank you for those emails. You can send us more at jandjack@gmail.com. And we have a nice set of phone calls. What do you say we get to those now, Jack?
Do it.
Here we go.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Jared from Missouri. I was calling with some more thoughts. This episode I thought was fantastic, even better than last week. First thing, at the beginning of the episode, the priest sees the bird in his church. Then later he sees the bird on the table. And then third, he sees the bird on the light. And that's how he knew how to do everything. He saw the bird in the church, which means he can keep his church. And he knew where to go by seeing them on the gambling table. And then he knew to bet on red because the stoplight was on red. The crackpot theory I had for the week is that... The priest, when the accident happens at the beginning of the whole show that we see from the flashback, the person that was driving that car is in fact the judge that he makes the first flyer about. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you very much, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, what's going on, Jane Jack? This is Todd from Rhode Island. I was just calling. I'm glad to hear you guys back on a podcast. I'm glad to have a show like Leftovers take over where Lost left off. One thing I've noticed is that you guys don't seem to be excited enough about this show. To me, this show is almost exactly like Lost. It's true. I think that Damon Lindelof was the brains behind Lost, and it's great to see him do this show because the show just looks great. The music on it sounds great, just like Lost did. and I feel like the GR represents the others. So I'm really excited to see what happens on the show, and glad to hear you guys back on the iTunes podcast. Take it easy.
Hey, Dad and Granddad, it's Scott calling about tonight's episode of The Leftovers. When I called after the pilot episode, I had talked about the issues of plot and character. I felt a show that didn't have a truly discernible plot driving the story, you know, it must then rely on the power of a character-based narrative. And I thought the first two episodes of The Leftovers, they've just been all over the place. You know, it can be fun to point to new, twinkly little mysteries like finding new ornaments on a Christmas tree, but it's really hard to get invested in caring about solving those mysteries when that's all they are. You know, you've kind of lacked a true journey or arc to follow for most of the people on the show, and what is there feels fairly minimal. You know, basically it's just 3 years after a horrific and unexplained event, and we're watching how a town is dealing with the aftermath, including the loss of faith in the establishment of more than one cult-like community. But outside of Sheriff Brody, I mean Garvey, there's been little for me to truly care about. I mean, the kids are annoying, the GR is irritating, and the only ones I can think of that I found remotely interesting in those first two episodes were Garvey's dad, the woman who lost her husband and both her children in, I guess, the Great Departure, and the priest, which takes me to tonight's episode. Because tonight, that was going to be make or break for me. If I found myself feeling ambivalent once again after it was over, I was going to be dropping the leftovers, you know, like, I don't know, like three-day-old fish sticks or something. But tonight they abandoned the formula that they had established before, and they did something, you know, we've seen shows like Lost or BSG, and hell, even a notable episode of The Heroes did it once, where you focus solely on one character. And it's not just that, by doing that, we learn about others as well. Why do you actually have a genuine story with an instigating event, a journey, a false resolution, and then a true resolution? That is script writing boiled down to its purest essential. You know, you throw in a little foreshadowing and even a slight O. Henry Twilight Zone feel to the plot, and you've made it that much more enjoyable for me. As far as the episode, do I think that Matt should be continuing his mission of exposing those who led sinful lives in order to quell thoughts of this being the rapture? No, of course he shouldn't. I mean, quite frankly, I was thinking if most of the townspeople really felt that the Great Departure was a true rapture and had some sort of religious significance, well, wouldn't they be showing up to church more, not less? Or does he believe that the thought that it was the rapture is what has turned people against the church? So I'm not sure if that's a catch-22 or not, but I will say there is a precedent for a religiously devout person having a single obsessive mission that all others feel is crazy. And in those previous classic stories, those men are proven to be correct, even saviors to a certain extent. You know, perhaps Matt sees himself that way, although to think in such a manner is giving way to the sin of pride, which is the most common one that befalls most people. Anyway, I thought this was one fine hour of TV, and although I think it might end up being the high point, storytelling-wise, for The Leftovers this season, they have bought themselves at least a few more weeks for me. And let's face it, if I watch more than half the season, I'm going to watch the whole thing. Anyway, looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it as well. Thanks.
All right, thank you for those calls.
Well, going to what Scott said, if Matt does, because I'm saying the same thing, I think Matt should stop.
Mm-hmm.
But if Matt stops, do we need his character?
That's what I'm saying. I think he's almost vindicated and galvanized
to
continue on and maybe do something slightly different because he doesn't have his church anymore.
Well, but he has all this
cash.
You
saw the way he was looking at
Patty. Oh, he was angry at Patty. He was angry at Patty.
He's not
going
to stop.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Now, did he do something to one of Patty's...
No, because he seemed supportive of him. He donated the thing to him. He went to help her with the one person that got hit with a rock. So he seemed to care about them. He said, thanks, I respect you. I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to be hateful or mean.
But he's also But all those people that are in the GRs, they can't all have done good things. They probably have done things.
Do you want to call him Virginia Slims?
No. Some people call him Virginia Slims. I just for sake of argument, I'll call him the VS.
The BS?
VS.
Oh,
VS. Virginia Slims. I think Virginia Slims is a good name.
Okay, hey, but listen.
Either way, hey. Anyway. I forgot what I was going to say. No, but maybe I'll say that for crackpot theory. But no,
okay.
Because I really don't have one. Because they gave it. I thought I had one right from the start. But no, of course, they had to change the story around. But I did like this episode. I do agree with Scott. In the first couple episodes, it was kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. And like going, what is going on? It was kind of like
following a lot of different stories.
It was following, and that's the hard thing when you have a lot of characters, mm-hmm. is making it interesting. I mean, I don't want to compare this to Lost because it's not.
Yeah.
Lost had me right away. Mm-hmm. Lost, I mean, you look at the pilot, it had all these different characters. And I'm like going, well, I was into several characters all at once.
Well, I think the difference between Lost and this show is Lost had a lot of different mysteries. There's like, whoa, what's this about? Oh, what's this about? Oh,
but it also had
this one doesn't have, it has things that we don't know yet that are unfolding and we're kind of seeing that happen, but it doesn't have, and this kind of mystical event that happened.
But Lost had both. It had characters.
Oh, I know.
And had story. Like Justified had me the first 5 minutes because I cared so much about Raylan Givens right off the bat.
Yeah.
And the story was interesting. I mean, it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you really need. Sometimes you give a show, you know, enough time, and sometimes you know, it's like was it the second?
But even that, I mean, even the Justified after the first 5 minutes, it was kind of like okay, all right. And then after a couple episodes, that's when I really started getting into Justified. The first 5 minutes were amazing at Justified, but it was more because it was like an awesome kind of lawman scene. But it took a while for me to really get into the show.
I didn't. I was hooked right away.
And even Lost, like besides the first 10 minutes, the rest of the pilot's kind of a lot to take in at once. And then you kind of eventually start to really... It wasn't for me, Lost, until Walkabout that I was like, okay, I'm bought. I'm in.
Well, that was what sealed the deal. Obviously.
That's what I'm saying. So
it's like, what is going on?
Yeah. So, I think,
and this John Locke guy is a very interesting guy, and he's going to be the leader of this this great Lost world.
So most shows are like that. The first couple are kind of, there's a lot to take in. This show has a lot of characters.
Well, going to what Todd said about, you know, he was saying about not being excited by it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first two episodes really, I thought they were good.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the podcast, I would get more excited, I think, talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But after the second episode, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Mm-hmm. I was starting to sweat a little bit because we'd committed to doing it.
Yeah.
And nothing's worse than committing to a podcast. We've talked about it before, and then you don't like it. And I'm going to be sitting there going, this is the worst show I've ever seen. What?
But I liked the second episode.
I liked it more the second time I watched it.
Yeah.
But I still wasn't sold on it. This episode reeled me in.
It was a really good episode.
It had me going from this. Like I said 100 times, you had a character, Matt. I'm like, really, this whole episode is going to be about him?
Mm-hmm.
And when they, I said, wow. And at the end, I said, don't kill him off. But then I'm like, I don't want him to keep doing this newsletter. But if they do, if they don't, what would, do they have something in store for another twist to make him more interesting other than this newsletter and what he's doing?
Who knows?
Anyway. And then Jared.
So he thinks the judge crashed the car.
That was the call I heard after. Because I wrote down in my notes, mm-hmm. I wrote down, is it the judge? And it was going to be my crackpot theory, but I don't want to take Jared's crackpot theory. But Jared, you're spot on. I think it's the judge.
There you go.
Because Nora says, she says, you already proved you're right about the, why couldn't you just stop after that?
Mm-hmm.
And about the light change. You did hear what he said. I think he was wrong, though, about the light, because he said the light was to bet on red. And I'm pretty sure the light, you said it was to stop.
No, it's, so Jared, I will admit when I'm wrong.
Jared, you're 100% right about the judge, but the whole stoplight thing, it's a stoplight. It wasn't to bet on red.
Ha ha. All right, moving on.
It's almost like Jared's reading my notes.
Well, let's go to our last set of calls. Here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Cassie. I'm calling from Phoenix. And I just had a couple of thoughts about tonight's episode. I didn't like it too much, not as much as I didn't like last week's episode. I felt the same as Jack did about that. But it felt too much like a Nikki and Paolo episode, although I do think the pastor was trying to justify every adult getting taken by exposing what they had done wrong so as to not feel so bad about not being taken in my eyes. And then that kind of made it okay in his eyes to gamble the money to get the money for the church and to smash the guy's head in. Anyway, where's the casino security after that big win? Also, I have one crackpot theory that perhaps Amy, being Jill's friend, was the woman who was cleaning out the gutters with Kevin. That's my thought. Hopefully it gets a little bit better, but I'm going to keep with it for a while and see what happens. Thank you so much. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Hey, Jan, Jack. This is Brian from Tulsa. Love the show. Love your podcast. So glad you're podcasting again. So tonight's episode was crazy. I love seeing the backstory on the preacher. So saw a couple of things in there. Again, we're starting to see some numbers coming up. What do you think the numbers represent, if anything? There's A3 and A23 and A25. And there were some other representations to three with the one, two, and then three pigeons. And so, yeah, I'm interested to see that. And the other thing I thought of is in his vision, do you think that he's going to try to burn down the church, since that seemed to be some of what he might have been dreaming of? Anyway, love the show. Looking forward to listening to it tomorrow. So let me know what you think. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. It's Sharon. He's been calling with my thoughts on last night's leftovers. So my thoughts are that it was depressing. I have never been so anxious about the color red before. I mean, that was tense. And I know it's not really proper, but I was so glad that Reverend Matt beat that guy up for taking his money. I have no problem with him doing that. I was so upset about that whole situation. I was not happy that he ended up losing the church, though. The irony of it being the very people that he was trying to help when they got hurt and that landed him in the hospital and made him miss the deadline are the ones who took his church. And my question is, why did that Patty lady look at him that way? There's got to be something there, some kind of problem. Maybe she's the judge's wife, because I don't know what that whole situation was yet with him and the judge. So maybe there's something there, because she looked at him like she wanted him dead. And then I'm kind of okay with the show right now. I'm not going to stop watching it yet, but it's definitely very depressing. And now I'm not really sure what Reverend Matt's story will be. One of the other questions I had is, what about his wife? Did the lady that's watching her stick around for 3 days waiting for him to come back? And if not, what's going to happen there? I feel like if this were me and I were Reverend Matt, this would be the point that I would give up and lose all my faith. I can't imagine how I would keep going anymore. So we'll see what he's going to do. I get the feeling that maybe now he's going to be more on a crusade than ever to point out the bad people, or else to turn around and get the Virginia Slims somehow. So, okay, great show, guys. Bye.
All right, thank you for those calls.
Well, if people are going to stick with Virginia Slims, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it also. I never thought about is it Roxanne? Roxy?
The caretaker? Yeah, did he stick around for 3 days? It's a good point.
Good point, because the guy at the bank didn't even seem to know that Matt was in the hospital.
Yeah.
This huge town that nobody knew that Matt got hit in the hospital, which he has stuck around. Well, I don't think she's going to leave Mary alone.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, she sat there for 3 weeks without getting paid. You said she seems to be on Matt's side mm-hmm. a lot. But I never even thought about that. Yeah, it was 3 days. Would she just be sitting there for 3 days watching same station that she always watches?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. When he first walked in, I thought that was his wife.
So did I.
I forgot it was his wife, and she just looked, I go, well, she don't look happy. he brought home bleach. And usually when I bring home
name
bleach.
Name brand, too.
When I bring home bleach, I'm telling you, wife's happy. She's happy. I think that, I'm going to say this about, it was going to be a.
I didn't think it was a depressing episode, though. I would disagree. Because I felt, even that he lost the church, I felt like that should be freeing, and I felt like he's to the point though that he's going to be even more dedicated to what he's doing.
Maybe it's because it's Lindelof, and Lindelof's a very funny guy.
There isn't as much humor.
And Lost had a lot of humor in it.
Yeah.
It could have been probably a comedy, win an Emmy for comedy. but seriously. There hasn't been a lot of comedy.
But Lindelof's different now. I mean, I think the whole post Lost and how people have reacted to him and the whole Twitter thing, I think
But
it's reflective of, I think, his mood, possibly.
It might be, but you still can't take funny out of...
I agree.
He's funny.
Yeah.
He's a funny... I mean, that was the best thing about on Twitter. He was funny.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to take time to develop some of these characters. Maybe, mm-hmm. But there has been a lot of, oh my God, these guys are people I'd want to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not. I mean...
Yeah.
But I'm going to say a mini crackpot theory.
Okay.
The reason Patty is so upset with Matt, mm-hmm. I think Matt did something to for one of Patty's loved ones. Maybe one of her loved ones is one of the departed,
mm-hmm.
and he called him out.
Okay. I can see that.
Maybe it's the guy that did, maybe that's what she's so bitter about, mm-hmm. and maybe that's why they came and got the church, even though he was trying, you know, hey, just, I know I did some wrong things, but hey, mm-hmm. you know, you can tell Patty.
Well, if she doesn't like him that much, why would she want him to join their cult?
Does she want him to join the cult, or they just watch? Maybe they were just watching to keep track of where he was, what he was doing.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know. I mean, I just think there's something obviously there. There's some hatred there.
Yeah,
but I guess we'll find out. Going to Brian, I'm gonna tell you right now. I did see a lot of numbers in this thing. There was a whole board inside the church with numbers. I'm not doing the numbers.
Well, that's normal in a church, so you can go to which.
I know, but there was the three. Everything was numbered. I hope Lindelof doesn't go. I hope they don't go this way because...
There's a nice little call out to 23.
But it was one of my biggest complaints about Once Upon a Time when I was still mm-hmm. watching it, other than when it got just repetitive and got stale towards the finals, whatever season I stopped. I think I went through two seasons. I got tired of all the Lost references.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I
don't think it is.
I don't think he'll go that direction.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pay attention to the numbers. Mm-hmm. It could mean something. But burning down the church, that could be what he might do.
Mm-hmm.
He could. That's a good one. And then Kathy.
Where is Guilty Remnants getting their money?
We don't know. Where
cigars are expensive in New York. They're expensive.
Well, where did
where they get $135,000?
Where'd the Reverend get $20,000? I mean, what it was buried underneath the
bar. There's obviously some accounting issues.
Where is all this money? Is it coming from the departeds? You know, the whole.
Wait, what insurance pays that much money to all the people that left? 2% of the.
It has to be a government thing. I mean, not everybody
has. How do you not have hyperinflation?
Not everybody has life insurance.
I know.
Oh, we print money up like there's no tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying.
But who's? I don't think it must not be the government. Then somebody's paying this
for that survey.
For that survey,
to someone's get more paying information.
But as far as it being ABM, I'm saying no because remember this was 3 years ago. Amy would have been about 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they don't go there.
Nah, and even by the you saw like the. The girl's hair and everything didn't look like Amy.
No, I'm going to say, because that would be a good theory, but Amy's going to be like 13.
No.
So, no, I hope Kevin doesn't go that way.
No.
Because that would... So. I can't root for a guy that does that.
No, I agree.
Sorry, Kevin. Can't do that.
All right. Well, that is it for the feedback. Thank you so much for giving us the calls and the email. Like we've said many times, like we've said for all of the shows that we've ever done about TV shows, we can't do this without your feedback, so we appreciate you taking the time to email and call in, and it always brings more to the show, so thank you for doing that. And now it is time for the monumentous occasion of any
And going back to me being a Virginia Slim person,
mm-hmm.
really couldn't do it because I'm like struggling. What did I write here? I mean, you figure, how long have we been podcasting?
Almost a decade.
And I take the notes down, I go, I got Amy, and it was clean. That's about all I could figure. That's all I could figure. I'm like, oh, gutters. That's what it is. I thought it was Cutler.
God. All right, let's go. Time for Jack's crackpot theory of the week.
What like I said, I thought I was spot on in the beginning when he was talking about the girl that was abducted by the guy. I said, that's why he's doing it. That's mm-hmm. why he's doing it. And then, of course, Nora has to say, no, you're the judge. And then Jared, I think, pointed out, too, that it's probably the judge. Mm-hmm. And that's what probably got him. I said, this guy killed his girl, and there's no his daughter, and there's no way he's going to let this guy. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I think that Kevin, as a younger child, set fire to the house and killed his parents. Matt.
Oh, that's why his hands were on fire?
That's why his hands are on fire.
Okay.
Like I said,
don't be
throwing stones at glass houses, Matt. You killed your parents.
Well, maybe he didn't mean to kill his parents.
He did it. He was playing with matches, wasn't supposed to be playing. Whatever it was, we're going to find out that Matt burned his house down,
man,
killing
you hate
his parents.
John Locke, now you hate Matt.
I'm just saying. I think I'm, like I said, the other one would have been better because that's the way I was thinking the whole episode up until that point. But now Matt burned the house down.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, there you go. That is your
crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it like I can go that way.
Right.
I was going to say like hot flesh on a...
Well, what?
He burned the house down. You know, God. Like, you know, flesh, you know.
Anyways, if you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Callie time.
Again, it's 206-309-0311. Callie time for the questions, comments,
and or theories.
Also, send us an email to janejack@gmail.com.
I'm sorry.
janejack@gmail.com.
Hey, it's not my fault. I've been sleeping on a cot. I can't figure out. I keep getting tickets because I keep going through these red lights.
And
it's rough.
Our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JandJack group for a lot of fun TV show discussions, including The Leftovers on HBO.
And this time you have to actually, this isn't going to be on the Lost feed anymore, right?
Should we say this is the last time on the Last feed, or should we already
cut them off? I think we cut them off.
All right. They're cut off.
I'm sorry.
Exclusive.
You're cut off. If not, then I'm going to go around and find dirt on you and get a little printer and say that you know. I'll be like Matt.
If I'd like to hear Jack and I talk about the Emmy nominations and Orange is the New Black, check out the Ramblecast. And also have a new Merry Man up there. And I believe you and Dale are doing Merry Man.
Yeah, we found
Sans Jay this
week.
It's
almost like the Honeymooners Lost episodes.
Yeah.
Found 6 phone calls that were in the spam section that I go, because why is nobody calling us?
Mm-hmm.
Some reason the calls were not going straight to it wasn't registering on our voicemail, our email account.
Mm-hmm.
It was going right to spam.
Yeah.
And the voice said something. So I went and looked. I go, there they are.
So
6 calls. I'm stuck doing it with Dale tomorrow.
And then the next Ramblecast would be released later this week. We'll talk about Orphan Black, which will be a lot of fun.
And then the week after that, we'll talk a little bit about Comic-Con. We'll be at Comic-Con.
We'll be at Comic-Con, our panel again this year, Lost Podcasting and Beyond.
Thanks, Ralph, for posting the information on that.
Yeah, Ralph Apple is moderating the panel.
Well, because I was waiting for someone to post it. Because people were asking me, I go, I know it's on Saturday.
Saturday, 3 o'clock.
No, it's 2 to 3.
2 to 3? Yeah,
pretty sure it's 2 to 3. Well, we're
I think
after
it's 3.
Is it 3?
We're after Little Lulu again.
We're after Little Lulu
again. It's on the Comic-Con.
Those Little Lulu people always
Saturday.
Give us the dirtiest looks.
It's because there's only like 2 people in
and
the
they
panel.
Hate, but they hate us.
Because we go in and we're at least
well, you
have a room
you know why?
Filled.
Because we're sitting outside. We're all wearing all white and we're smoking. Inside the convention center, which you're not supposed to do, but it's okay.
But if you're going to Comic-Con this year, we'll have our panel talk about Lost, talk about Leftovers. Talk about anything you want to talk about, but usually turns into a pretty big Lost discussion, so come hang out.
Yeah, every year I think it's going to be... I haven't watched a Lost episode in like 3 years.
Wow.
When was the last time you watched a Lost episode?
Yesterday. I watched it.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. There you go. You're first on my calling out list. I'm going to get a little flyer because you're a liar.
Flyer because you're a liar.
Lied about watching Lost yesterday.
So check out those podcasts. They're on our Jane Jack Plus feed over at janejacktv.com.
And remember, the most important thing.
What's that?
When you're out there. Not texting and driving, not driving drunk, but when you come to a red light, stop.
Shut up.
Unless you need a pigeon to tell you to do that.
Until next week. We'll see you guys. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.